of us has, and I didn't acknowledge in the beginning, and I'm going to just take a moment. If you didn't notice, but I'm sure you did, when you came in, the building changed. It was decorated underneath Deb Peachy and Stacy Sanders and their spouses and many other people gave leadership to that and changed things. It's nicely decorated, so thank you very much for doing that. So I wasn't going to start this way, but I wanted you to know the Psalm 57 this morning is the passage that God gave me and Dawn as May 27th started. As, you know, we were in the hospital and I come home and we're starting to, you know, look in God's Word again, as we always do. But this psalm means so much. Oh, that's right. So this psalm means so much, but let's dismiss the children first. So children up through kindergarten through fifth grade or even younger, you're dismissed to go to your children's church. Thanks, Steve. I didn't know what that meant. So anyways, so we're going to take a look at Psalm 57 this morning. But as we start, I have a question. Do you ever look back and remember things in your life? These can be hard times that you have and I have gone through, and these can be the best of times that you and I have gone through in our lives. Life can be wonderful, and life can be hard. Have you ever thought about the differences that God has made in your life and in these life situations? In our text today, Psalm 57, David does just that. He has written for us his remembrances of time when he was fleeing from Saul into the cave, and his remembrances of how God was with him all the steps of the way and all that God had done for him. Now, you're able to read about David and his accounts in 1 Samuel chapters 18 through 31. David was successful in everything that Saul sent him out to do. As David returned with the army from killing the Philistines, there were celebrations, people singing. Saul has killed his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. This made Saul furious. And because of all that, he became jealous of David to the point that he wanted to kill David. Saul threw a spear at David while David was in the palace playing his lyre and singing to the Lord. Saul sent David to kill the Philistines as a death trap, but God's hand was on David's life. After that plan failed, Saul ordered his son Jonathan and his servants to kill David. Jonathan liked David very much and warned David and told him to go hide from Saul. David flees to Nor and then to Gath, and then he fled to the cave of Adullam. After there, David went back to Judah to the forest of Hereth. Then he went from place to place, sometimes by a narrow escape from Saul. There is a time that Saul was in a cave, and without him even knowing it, David cut off a little bit of his robe. But David never lifted a hand against Saul. All the time, God's hand was on David's life. God always protected David. David writes Psalm 57, remembering all that God had done for him. As we take a look at this account, may this help us as we go through life, the trying situations that come our way, and the not so trying situations in life. Please turn with me to Psalm 57 if you don't have it already. And if you don't have the Blue Pew Bible open, it's on page 460 if you want to turn to there. But before we look at this account, let's just take a moment and ask God to lead us in this time. Will you join me in prayer? Father, thank you for the opportunity to look into your word, to see things that you want to teach us this morning, to help us live our lives, lives that would be dependent upon you, lives that would trust in you, lives that would flourish, lives that would give you glory and praise. So thank you for this opportunity. And I just pray, Father, that you would lead this time. We pray for your Holy Spirit to speak through me. May people hear from you. May I hear from you instead of me, myself. So we give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Psalm 57, look at verse 1 with me that Don already read. David says, "Be gracious to me, God, be gracious to me, for I take refuge in you. I will seek refuge in the shadow of your wings until danger passes." When life becomes unusual and difficult, what does David do? He goes to God in prayer. Only one's relationship with his God can calm the soul and give comfort. David prays for God's gracious intervention in his situation. This is his prayer for relief of the unpleasant experience from Saul chasing him and David running for his life. He states that he takes refuge in God. In the Old Testament, this was commonly used with one's relationship with God, the Father, and Jesus Christ as their Lord and as our Lord and Savior. We can read how he is the rock whom we take refuge in. You can find that in Deuteronomy 32:37. A great example of God's power in our lives is 2 Samuel 22, verses 31 through 47. Talks about our Yahweh, who is a shield providing refuge. Listen to what it says. "This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He's a shield for all those who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? This God is my strong refuge and has made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. You have given me the shield of your salvation and your gentleness made me great. You gave a wide place for my steps under me and my feet did not slip. For you equipped me with strength for the battle. The Lord lives and blessed be my rock and exalted be my God, the rock of my salvation." In fleeing from Saul, David did not think that he was safe anywhere. David made this statement, "I will seek refuge in the shadow of your wings." How does a shadow provide protection? This was a commonly used Hebrew metaphor for the protection and care one received from God. Psalm 17, verse 8, the writer says this, "Hide me in the shadow of your wings." The protective outreach of God's power goes on to say in Psalm 36, "How priceless is your unfailing love. Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings." So we take shelter, residence in his protective power. That's where, as the psalmist says, we can take refuge in the Almighty God of heaven and earth. He says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." As a shadow provides relief from the hot sun, and as a bird covers her young in the nest, God provides a safe place for his followers. Our Lord is the protective shade for each of us. As David was safe from Saul because God was watching and he was sheltering his servant, David discovered a sanctuary of peace in the Lord. Through hard times, we too can discover a sanctuary of peace in our Lord. God doesn't always keep us from distress or disaster, but he invites us to take refuge in him. We are to make Jesus our refuge while we go through the difficult situation. When we trust in him, difficult situations, adversity, can be a bridge to a great blessing. Through the hard times, we discover a sanctuary of peace in our Lord Jesus Christ. Take notice of David's confidence of being heard. Look at verse 2. David says, "I call to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me." David knows God has a plan, a purpose for his life. God, who is high and lifted up, Isaiah says, above his creation, and who is all-powerful, fulfills his purpose for David's life. The purpose for David's life was to be made king of Israel. David trusts God to fulfill his purposes for his life. God, who exists apart from and not subject to the limitations of space and time, never removes himself from an intimate relationship with his followers. As David said in verse 3, "He reaches down from heaven and saves me. God sends his steadfast love and his faithfulness. Steadfast love is one of God's important features of his character. The classic text for understanding the significance of God's steadfast love is Psalm 136. It's used 26 times to proclaim that God's steadfast love is eternal. The psalmist made it clear that this serves as the foundation of God's actions and his character. Turn to Psalm 136 for a moment, please. So as you turn there, verse 1 talks about God's goodness. Verses 2 and 3 support his unchanging position as God and Lord. Verses 4 through 9 are the basis for his great and wondrous acts in creation. Verses 10 through 15 talk about delivering and redeeming his people from Pharaoh and the Red Sea. Verse 16 is the reason for his guidance in the desert. Verses 17 to 22 are his gift of the land to Israel and defeating their enemies. Verses 23 to 25, we see God's deliverance in ancient times as well as his continuing deliverance for his people. And verse 26 talks about God's rulership in heaven. The entire span of creation to God's redemption, preservation, and permanent establishment is touched upon in Psalm 136. It all happened, is happening, and will continue to happen because of the Lord's steadfast love and faithfulness. God's steadfast love is abundant, exceedingly great, without end, and is good. The psalmist says the Lord is compassionate and gracious, abounding in steadfast love. God is the covenant-keeping God who maintains kindness and mercy to those who love him. The psalmist said in 109, he delivers us because of his steadfast love. This is our God. He is faithful, trustworthy, secure, full of truth. In fact, God is the only God of truth, full of loving kindness, and of course, steadfast love. As Moses said, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. As we go through life, no matter the best times in life or the hard times in life, we can rest in God's shadow of his wings because of his steadfast love for us. Through these times, as David described, as David desired, may God receive praise and glory. Look at what he says in verses 4 to 6 of Psalm 57. So if you're still at 136, you have to turn back to Psalm 57. Look at verses 4 through 6. David says, I am surrounded by lions. I lie down among the devouring lions, people whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. God, be exalted above the heavens. Let your glory be over the whole earth. They prepared a net for my steps. I was despondent. They dug a pit ahead of me, but they fell into it. David relates his circumstances to being surrounded by lions, and these were not friendly lions. It felt like they wanted to devour him. Saul desperately wanted to strike David down. These adversaries of David, the lions, they were prowling around waiting to destroy him. Lions, while they no longer inhabit what was ancient Israel, in David's time were not uncommon. The danger they posed was well known in 1 Samuel 17, 34 through 37. David talks about when he tended his father's sheep and he had to retrieve the lamb that a lion or a bear took. In Amos 3:4 and chapter 5, verse 19, we can also read about lions and men fleeing from them. Of course, there is also the account of Daniel being thrown into the lion's den because he would not bow down and pray to anyone but to God. He was brought before King Darius, and Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. The lion's den was sealed with a stone over the mouth of the den. These lions were hungry. At the break of dawn, King Darius ran out to the den and called out to Daniel, "Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lion?" Daniel responded to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent the angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before God and also before you, O king. I have done no harm." Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because Daniel trusted in his God. Through Daniel's situation, and also through David's situation, God's power and glory was shown. These lions were feared for both their teeth and claws. In addition to their strength and speed, lions used stealth to hunt down their victims, just like David's enemies, who set a trap and a net and dug a pit to capture and kill David. Hudson, you'll like this as we look at what hunters did back then. Why did they spread a net and dig a pit? Well, back in David's life, hunters would use nets to entangle an animal's feet with a net. Ancient hunters trapped animals by camouflaging holes that they had dug into the ground or by hanging nets from trees. David used these examples to describe how the efforts of his enemies had backfired on them. Despite the trap that they had set out for him, David's enemies fell into it. What David desired happened. Be exalted, O God. A person who puts God first in his life wants God to receive glory and for God's glory to be exhibited more than he wants his own personal problems to be solved. God's power and glory were shown as God came and rescued David, as well as when he showed up and rescued Daniel from the mouths of the lions. This is the same in our lives as well. When God shows up and does wonderful things, as we read in the Gospels, when Jesus heals the sick, when the little girl was raised back to life, and when his friend Lazarus came back to life, in all these situations, God receives the glory. When God answers our prayers for whatever situation we are going through, it is for his glory. And we need to give him that glory, that praise for what he does for us. May God be exalted above the heavens. May his glory be over all the earth. When God does something great in our lives, we need to let others know, and we need to praise him. Allow his majesty, his power, his splendor to be seen by others through this wonderful work in our lives. There's a confidence in God that is seen and that we experience that causes a heart of praise to God, and that we experience that causes a heart of praise to God alone. Situations where people experience confidence in God changes lives, the life of the person, but also the lives of those included in the experience. Look at David's reaction to how God showed up in his life. Look at verses 7 to 10 with me. David says, "My heart is confident. God, my heart is confident. I will sing praises. Wake up, my soul. Wake up, harp and lyre. I will wake up the dawn. I will praise the Lord among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your faithful love is as high as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds." Do you hear the excitement in David's life? He could sense it just with what he was writing there. Now, verses 7 through 11, he also used for Psalm 108 as well. Take notice, though, that David remains unwavering and confident in God. He doesn't lose hope. He's confidentially anticipating God's deliverance from his situation. David's emotions may be overwhelming him. His feelings may go up and down when he is going through the difficult situation. We too have overwhelming emotions that go up and down as we go through difficult situations. Possibly something that has happened to us or told to us without any warning, and something that is out of our control. But when, through prayer, we give God our burdens, and then through us deciding to praise God in the situation, God calms us and brings a peace to our hearts, a peace knowing God has this under his control, a peace that comes when we who are Christ's followers commit all our cares in God to God in prayer, transferring our trust in ourselves handling that situation to trusting in God to handle that situation. The anxiousness flees as our heart is confident in God. Paul says, be anxious about nothing. The peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Our comprehension of God's love and care for us is beyond what we can imagine. Paul says he does more than we can even ask or imagine. Peter says this about the believer in Christ Jesus, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation. We are in God's protective custody, those of us who are in Christ Jesus. David, he talks about the heart. If we're going to understand how the heart has confidence in God, we need to know a little bit about the heart, what David means when he says this word heart. The word heart is used broadly, and you can think about it, for feelings, the will, the intellect one has. The heart is the center of everything of us. It is part of what reflects who we are, our personality, our mind, our emotions, our will, as David was referring to, setting our heart to seeking the Lord and devoting our heart to God. Out of us devoting all we are, our confidence in God, we should sing praises to God as David did. There's something that happens when we take the focus off our issues and we focus on singing praises to God and giving him our attention instead of the situation getting our attention. David did what we need to do, proclaim God's goodness and give thanks for his faithful love that is as high as the heavens and a love that is eternal. Throughout the Bible, we see accounts of God's people praising him. They praise God individually and they praise God corporately. We call that worship. When we take time to personally praise God, and when we gather together like we are this morning as believers and praising him together, this can be for God's deliverance in our lives, but also it can be for his steadfast love and his faithfulness to us. This also can be a time to praise God for his wonderful gift of salvation through the death and resurrection of his son Jesus on our behalf. David and the Israelites celebrated with song as they brought back the Ark of God to Judah. God's people celebrated with songs of praise after the wall of Jerusalem was rebuilt. David and the Israelites worshiped the Lord for his love that endures forever. They celebrated with all their might before God, with songs, and as David says, with harps and lyres, and you'll read about tambourines and cymbals, and of course, I got to put trumpets in there. He talks about trumpets. Just as David mentioned using the harp and lyre, these were instruments for him to praise and glorify God. We too use instruments to praise and glorify God. The piano, the guitar, drums, cello, flute, trumpet, saxophone, and many other instruments for us to use to praise and worship God for who he is, for all he has done, and for his amazing grace that is poured out for us. Instruments were used in Bible times to praise God, and they were made from lots of different things. The key is, though, they used the instruments to sing with, to express praises to God for his steadfast love that endures forever, for his refuge under the shadow of his wings, and for his faithful love that protects us from the enemy. Imagine who God is. Just take a moment, and I know it would take a long time, but just imagine a little bit who God is. Paul says this, just grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. And know this, that love, his love surpasses all our knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. God's love is so great that we can't completely comprehend or understand. David described God's love is as high as the heavens, and God's faithfulness reaches to the clouds. David was trying to express how huge and how far God's love and faithfulness reaches to. God's love and faithfulness is hard to put in words. God's mercy, truth, and glory are immense and unfathomable. A great example is found in Romans chapter 11, verses 33 to 36, where Paul says this, oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that might be repaid? For him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Paul pours out his praise to God, whose wisdom and knowledge brought about God's great plan for the salvation of both the Jews and the Gentiles because of who God is. Paul could not help but to praise God. And we see that David can't help but sing praises, not only among God's people, but also among the nations. This is a reference of the Gentiles who would normally not know of who Jehovah God is. Just as we need to tell the whole world who doesn't know of God and his amazing grace that has been poured out for them. David is in awe of the Lord's faithfulness to him and the Lord's faithful love, so much so that he compares this to the splendor and the impressiveness of creation. God is highly praised and admired for who he is, his attributes, and for his actions that only God can do. In Judges, we see the leaders worshiping and blessing the Lord. Here's the account. Here's what it says. It says, to the Lord, I will sing. I will make a melody to the Lord, the God of Israel. Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the region of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped. Yes, the clouds dropped water. The mountains quaked before the Lord, even Sinai before the Lord, the God of Israel. In the Bible, the object of praise is always, or should be, always the Lord, who is admired and highly praised. This is a call for all people to come and praise God at his temple, a celebration of God's deliverance for his people, praise to God for his saving act. David finishes the psalm with a refrain of praise. Look at verse 11 with me. David says, God be exalted above the heavens. Let your glory be over the whole earth. David asked that God would be exalted above the heavens. He asked that God's glory would be over the whole earth. David experienced God's deliverance in the past and was looking expectantly for God's deliverance for him in the future. For David, the most important thing was a desire to glorify God. Whatever trying circumstances that come our way, we ought to seek to glorify God in it and through it. We need to confidently anticipate God's deliverance to us. We are his followers. And that's what he does for us. And the key factor for us to remember is that God, who is infinite in all attributes, all-knowing, all-powerful, he is everywhere, not limited by time or space, he's eternal. His steadfast love, his unfailing love, his eternal faithfulness, foreknowledge of all things, he's good, he's holy, impartial, incomprehensible, infinite, mercy, jealous, justice, long-suffering, righteous, self-existent, self-sufficient, sovereign, transcendent, truth, wise, and he's so much more than our finite minds can understand or comprehend. God allows us to draw on him and his resources for those of us who know Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Our God, our Lord, our Savior is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same God who was with David and with Moses and with Abraham and with Daniel and with Esther and Ruth and so many more others that we read about in the Bible. He can defend us from any enemy or trial that comes our way. He still shuts the mouths of the lions. He still defeats the giants in our lives. Our God is bigger than anything that comes after us. Anything that tries to discourage us, he is able to deliver us. You and I can be confident in our God, and through whatever you and I are going through, have a heart of praise, focusing on our God and not our hard situation. We don't need to let the situation defeat us. He is our protector. He is our steadfast love that will see us through this situation. We need to pray, as Daniel did. Pray with, and prayer will carry us through as we rely on God. Prayer unlocks the treasures of God and shuts the mouth of the lions. Prayer connects us to God's omnipotent power for our lives. Prayer that we pray in Jesus' name and his peace will flood our souls. We need to celebrate God and who he is and rest in the shadow of his wings. As for God, the psalmist says, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. Yours and my relationship with God can calm our souls and give us comfort. May you and I sing praise of God to the far ends of the earth. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Will you join me in prayer? Father, thank you. Thank you that we can take refuge in you. Thank you that we have hope in you. Thank you that we can have a peace that passes all understanding. Thank you that we can sing praises through the hard times, and you give us a joy to carry us through and the strength to carry us through. So we just give you praise today, Lord, that you're with us every step of the way in our lives. Thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we're going to sing a song of celebration. It talks about the resurrection, the life that